Earners, what's up? Look, in the world of personal finance management, finding the right tool is crucial. If you've been relying on Mint to keep your personal finances in check, I got a mix of news for you. Mint is closing down. But here's a silver lining. Monarch Money is stepping up as the go-to financial app, and users, including myself, are making the switch with a smile. Before Monarch, juggling my finances felt like navigating a stormy sea. Other apps either lacked features or were too cumbersome. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design turned financial management from a chore into a breeze. The constant updates, well, that's the cherry on top. But what truly set it apart for me was its collaboration feature. Money matters can strain relationships, but Monarch brings peace to the table. The app's collaboration tools allow my partner and I to seamlessly manage our finances together. We aligned on our budgets, tracked our cash flow, and even planned our future goals all in one place. Speaking of goals, be it saving for a down payment, your dream vacation, or your children's education, Monarch simplifies it all. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal hailed it as the best budgeting app. This isn't just an app. It's the next generation of personal finance management, ad-free, intuitive, and always evolving with you in mind. Now look, Monarch isn't just another app. It's the all-in-one solution, from effortlessly importing your data from Mint to customizing your dashboard to your heart's content. Monarch respects your privacy with a strict no ads, no data selling policy. This is financial management as it should be, focused on you. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/Mondays. That's monarchmoney.com/Mondays for your extended 30-day free trial.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
All right, guys, welcome back.
We're back.
Market Mondays. As you know,
Wait, you took Legendary out?
Huh?
You took Legendary out of the intro?
I mean, that's a given. That's a given. That's like saying the sky's blue.
Yes.
So as you know, we're in Toronto, Canada. We're going to talk about what we did last night. That was legendary for sure.
Yeah.
And we're running it back tonight.
Yeah.
As you're watching this currently.
That's a fact.
Got to show up and be prepared at all costs.
We always talk about that in business.
But the show must go on.
Replicate yourself.
So, yes, we will be at 2 places at once. We will be performing live for our second sold-out show in Toronto, Canada, yes, while simultaneously giving you the latest update in the market and all of the tools that you need to make money right here on YouTube.
Yes, brace for an amazing performance.
A magic trick has been performed.
Yes.
So yeah, man. First and foremost, shout out to Toronto.
Yes.
Great, great, great energy last night. Sold out show, vibes. Ian pulled the Willis Reed performance, Death Row.
Yeah.
In the flesh, Snoop Dogg.
Franklin Saint, all
my,
of them.
Yes. I got my baby.
Came out in the wheelchair.
I'm innocent.
Yes. Hey. Suffered an injury, but it wasn't a career-threatening injury.
Yes. Thank God.
Yes, yes.
All praises due.
Yes. We got him back out there. But I'm sure we'll talk about the full breakdown of what happened yesterday later on in the show. But just wanted to give a big shout out to Toronto. Big shout out to all of our guys in Toronto, Franz, Sean P, David, Daniel, Sherrod, yeah, Dalton, everybody that's been holding us down out here. This wonderful facility that we've had, Director X, Murder on the Beats came through, pulled up on us. So yeah, man, a lot of good energy, a lot of love out here.
Ty D.
We've been making our rounds. The Raptors.
Shout out to Remy Martin. That was Louis the 13th, by the way. The rumors are true.
Yes, yes, yes. That's a vibe. That is a vibe.
Intimate experience. Yes.
Yes, yes. Only the finest of luxury for the brand that has brought you so much value over the years.
Shout out to everyone who attended. We had a ball. That audience was amazing, right?
Damn, that was fun.
Attentive. They were sending me the notes they were taking like while I was on stage. I'm like, oh, y'all really ready to make some money. So shout out to everybody. But yeah, shout out to everyone we got a chance to hang out with.
I wish you could have really, I mean, you couldn't have done it, but you should have heard the, we'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
When they thought something wasn't going to happen.
Oh, man.
It was popcorn.
Q scores up.
It could have been popcorn.
Yes.
Yes, Sirski. So we're going to get into this, but before we start, so, all right, we started this tour in L.A., shout out to Los Angeles. Then we came to Toronto, back-to-back, sold-out shows. Next stop is London.
June 18th. Peacock Theater.
London, Peacock Theater.
We just be back. Summertime? Oh, my God.
Yeah. London, y'all know how we do, man. First time, tape London, 3,000 people on the street, documented. Second time, Royal Albert Hall, 4,100 people in one of the most prestigious venues in the world.
Massive.
Legendary vibe. This time is going to be a more intimate situation. Summertime, good weather, London. It's not too much more to talk about, man. So get your tickets now. If you're in the UK, definitely don't play yourself. But any international travelers, anybody in Europe, anybody all over the world, as I said, you know, you should travel with a purpose. So this is an opportunity for you to go to a new place if you've never been there, or go back to a place that you've been previously and meet some great people, eat some good food, catch good vibes, and we're going to make history again.
Yeah, we're talking about it last night. For those of you who like, hey, I need a business partner, maybe even need an accountability partner, someone to trade with, these events are a perfect platform to do so.
Yeah.
And shout out to those of you who have made some millions at some of these events.
That's a fact.
We are accepting wires 24 hours a day.
That is a fact.
That's like 5% of the back end.
What the splits is, right? You should have some equity in some of these companies.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, but you're right. Like when you think about where could I find that person or who has the same mindset as me, you know that we're coming. And so you know that there's going to be a concentrated environment of people who are thinking like that. So what better place than to show up at one of our events? So
yeah, absolutely.
Make sure y'all there. UK, y'all know how we do. London town.
Yes.
Mine's on the way.
Disclaimer?
Yo, y'all know how this works, man. Do your own research. Our content is intended to be used. It must be used for informational purposes only. It's very important to do your own analysis before making any investment based on your own personal circumstances. You should take independent financial advice from a professional to connect with, or independently research and verify any information that you find on our show and wish to rely upon, whether for the purpose of making an investment decision or otherwise. This is a message brought to you by the good brothers at Earn Your Leisure and the good brother, Tupac Shakur.
Yes.
Ian Dunlap, the master investor himself, man.
Yes, sir.
Do your research. And when it's great research, share it.
Oh, tomorrow, dope episode of Earn Your Leisure. We got D. Smith. D. Smith is, they said he was the most powerful person in sports. He is the president of the NFLPA.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Black gentleman. So, all right, I'll just briefly describe what the NFLPA is if you don't know. That's the NFL's Players Association. Mm-hmm. So that's their union. So in the NFL or any sports organization, you have the owners who own the league. So the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, they're owned by the owners. The commissioner does not own the NFL. Mm. He works for the owners. Mm-hmm. He's hired by the owners. They pay him a salary, but the league is owned by owners. That's why if you want to put a new team in, you got to get voted on by the owners.
Yeah,
right. So they have ownership of the league. So the players have their interest, which is their union.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why every once in a while they have strikes or they go back and forth with the owners. So the people that are on the field, the person that represents them is the president of that union. So D. Smith is the president of the NFL Players Association. The reason why they said that he was the most powerful man in sports is because in America, football is the biggest sport in America.
And it's the biggest TV program in America, too.
Yes. Yeah. So being that it's the biggest sport, the most profitable, he is the head of the players.
Yeah.
There's no game without the players, right?
Yeah. Mm.
So he is one person that is in control of the whole situation where the NFL owners is like 32 of them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 1 versus 32. So it's a really dope conversation. He talks about the power dynamic of, he's like very vocal. Like he's not working with the owners.
I'm a guy who prides myself on knowing the history of sports.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat down with him.
Blew your
eye. Oh, it was different level.
He's super smart.
No, it was different level. Like, I'm like, yo, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And now it's like, I got to do more. Like, this is one of those guys who's just a brilliant mind. Didn't even come from a sports background, really. He was a lawyer.
He's a lawyer.
He's a lawyer by trade and just, you know, figured out like, oh, I can help in this industry. But just a brilliant mind. And it's a history lesson, and it's going to be a very, very insightful episode on business,
yeah,
and the structure of how sports and business work. Man.
One of the biggest businesses in the United States,
yeah, absolutely.
As well, absolutely. Yeah, sure. Tune in; it's going to be great.
Fortune 500 company, and he is not with the NFL at all. Like, he's very vocal about like throwing the NFL under the bus with no problem. So it's we did it at Super Bowl actually. So it's interesting to see how these things play out because we went to All-Star as well. So when Super Bowl, especially. The NFLPA, their events, has nothing to do with the NFL events.
Wow.
So they don't even, it's like two different entities.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a pretty interesting. So check that out tomorrow, 8 o'clock. Very good business educational episode. Any announcements you want to make?
Yeah, Red Panda Stock Club call will be tomorrow at 9:30. It will be a short one. We are here for a good time, but not a long time. And yeah, shout out to Murder Beats, Ty, the whole team. Soundtrack is coming soon. He's confirmed. He's about to put his magic on something extra.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I saw him. We were like, yeah, I just saw you at dinner with Ian. He's like, that's my dog.
Yeah.
That's my dog.
Boy. Boy, he played me some ish at that table. I was like, whoo. About to go on another historic run. Yeah. Toronto, man. Y'all amazing.
A lot of talent.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sirski. All right. So let's get into this. What's in VOO? Well, before I start. So obviously, if anybody's been following the market, last month was a great month for stocks.
Yes.
NASDAQ, for everything. It's been up for, you know, it's been up this year, but last month was definitely a great month as well.
And today officially marks the second quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a new quarter.
Successful first quarter.
Yeah.
So you always talk about VOO and VTI, right? So a lot of the stocks in VOO and VTI overlap.
Yes.
Right? So what's the reason? What's the rationale behind having VOO and VTI in a portfolio?
Yeah, people ask me this all the time, like, isn't it unnecessary to have both? But if you only have, like, four slots available, I want the two safest. I'm going to go back to that cheat code of, like, if I'm playing 2K or Madden, like, I want the All-Star team. Like, I want to pick the Cleveland Browns. Shout out to everybody in Cleveland. I'm from the Midwest. Don't come for me, right? But let's say if, like, so in VOO, you have Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, NVIDIA, Tesla, Berkshire Hathaway, ExxonMobil, United Healthcare, Johnson & Johnson, Procter & Gamble, Home Depot. So, like, with Home Depot, ABBV, like, if those ever slide down and say they underperform, if I have the Eastern All-Stars, too, they're going to offset any losses that I have there. So you're just really swapping out one great player. You know, AB and I always had this conversation, who's better, Mike or LeBron?
Oh, boy.
But if AB could have, like, 12 LeBrons on his team, how many rings? 15 rings back to back. So I want us to stack our portfolio in a way that if the market ever goes down, we should be adjusting to be to the upside regardless and have, like, pretty much a no-loss portfolio.
Yeah.
So if you're coming out of last year and it was a little bit rocky, now Apple's up, Microsoft up, indexes are up, and now you're a little bit more optimistic in doing it this way, opposed to, like you say, just picking one stock, and if it would have fallen apart, you could be down 20%.
Yeah, so even if you look at the two, VOO tracks the S&P 500, and just by the number, it's 500 companies.
Yes.
Right, where VTI is the total stock market, so it's over 4,000 companies. Yeah. So, I mean, if you just look at the numbers, you can invest into the 500 companies, or you can invest in every single company. Yeah. You're going to have both, right? And there's going to be some overlaps, but let's just have the whole market, right? And then have a specific area of the market as well.
And for my content creators, it's no different than being on YouTube, Instagram, Snapchat, Reels, Shorts. Matter, y'all going to start paying influencers back for their Reels or no? See you soon.
Question.
Yeah. But you need, once again, omnipresence. We're doing this show live for a live audience while being live in Toronto. Hey, everyone in Toronto, like, you need a process that covers every potential threat, and that does allow. And it's worked. If I've made you money, please put yes in chat.
Yeah. So that's the two tech and two indexes.
That's,
So even the two techs, you say, Apple and Microsoft, they're in both.
Yeah.
Right? So you have exposure from a single entity type standpoint, but you got the group as well.
Yeah. And here's a great part. Let's say Apple and Microsoft slides down to fourth and fifth. I don't think they will in the next 10 years unless, say, Meta and Google becomes number one. You still have the two best tech players inside of VOO and VTI.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no different than when we were talking about, like, Tim Duncan. When he came to the team, he took over for David Robinson. great. Now you have a new dominant player. Yeah. You still have Apple and Microsoft, and it's a portfolio that's going to work over like a 30-year period.
That's on the downside, but on the upside.
Yeah. Oh, baby.
I mean, with the innovation, what we're looking at, where technology is headed, those two will probably be in the forefront for at least the next 10 years.
Yeah.
On the upside, you have them inside the indexes, but you also have exposure from a single standpoint of just investing in them as its own equity. Yeah. So, I mean, there is a downside, but the upside is pretty good as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
So, all right. So let's get into this. This is what everybody was talking about last week, trending topic, viral on social media.
Donald Trump is indicted, and Rashad is so sad.
Well, we got to talk about that.
We got to talk about that.
Well, let's talk about that now, actually. So Donald Trump becomes the first president in U.S. history to get indicted. Historical moment. So, all right, what's the thoughts on this? How will this, if it will have any impact on the stock market? What does it say about the political landscape in America?
Honestly, I think it's a little bit of a diversion tactic because I think the Democratic Party is afraid of him running. If you look at the Democratic landscape, they don't have a great or viable candidate. Kamala's been pretty quiet. I don't see three or four people that they even want to put in the race for the next election. I don't think Biden is too happy about running himself. I don't think it'll stick. Trump's brand at this point, even though he has a lot of blemishes, just from a branding standpoint, he's way bigger than DeSantis. The Republican Party almost needs him, but they kind of don't want him. So it's a tricky situation. I don't think this will stick, but this could lead to bigger indictments coming down the line.
But it's interesting because the person from a Republican side who would probably run against him is the governor of Florida, DeSantis. And he's, you know, the indictment was in New York. And they said, like, if there's any extradition, we're not taking part of it. We're not cooperating.
Well played.
We will not have the state authorities trying to, you know, turn him over to the authorities, which is crazy because, like, he's your opponent. You could get him out the way if you did that, or you could. I mean, what's your thoughts on that?
Shout to DeSantis not acting like Troy Aff.
He's gonna make a diss record about
it. Oh,
you.
Man, here comes.
Murder. Do the beef for my guy.
It's the stock guy.
I know.
You don't see about this two stock record thing.
I'm just joking. I know, right? I think it's well played not to make enemies in that political landscape because we were just talking about this last night. Be careful who you go to war with. Unless you have a clear victory, when a person decides to get the revenge on you, what are you going to do? It would be amazing if they ended up as running mates.
I mean, I think from his standpoint, it's like, what would the backlash be if I did cooperate, right? Yeah. Does it now look like, because he said this is a political warfare tactic, right? If there's a party that's trying to get me, obviously New York is a Democratic state, and you're cooperating, are you not compliant with them?
Yeah,
you might lose votes, right?
Absolutely.
Hey, I think he has a couple more indictments that they're trying to cook up in different states. That might be a little bit more serious. And I feel like the New York one especially, it's not something that I don't think he's going to jail for.
Yeah.
But as you said, I think it's more so to just really, you know, it's a
warning shot.
Well, it's tarnishing the name.
Yeah.
Which not to say that his name was already like a pristine name, but I don't think that he'll be able to run for president after getting indicted. And then he's probably get indicted again. And it's such an embarrassment and it's such a distraction. I think people probably still vote for him.
Yeah.
But the Republican Party doesn't want to be associated with something that's going to be such a big distraction.
But what's the alternative, though? Do you think DeSantis can beat Biden?
I think he's probably the best shot that they have to win. So I think they'll probably prop him up. I believe he's Cuban descent. So, you know, they'll play for the Latino vote.
Yeah.
Do you think they care, though?
Care what?
Like
the Republican Party?
Yeah, do you think, like, I'm trying to think, like, he's built up such...
No, no, listen, there's Republican voters, they don't care.
Yeah.
The Republican
they never
did like him.
Yeah.
And he's still got 70 million.
Well, now it's like, they might even be playing a part in this whole situation, right?
Good.
So strategy, now it's like, the Republican Party never did like him because he's not even a Republican.
Right.
Yeah. He was a Democrat. So it's like they never did like him for a variety of different reasons, but he played into the base and they really supported him so strong that they had no choice.
Right.
But I don't think that the Republican Party, like the powers that be, want to see another Donald Trump.
Yeah,
but that's what I'm saying. Like, does he even need the establishment, right? Because if he has the voters, that's ultimately what's going to get him elected.
But it's always the behind the scenes workings. It helped. It's like no different than when, like, remember when 50 went against Kanye and then Interscope wasn't back in 50? the music was still decent, but without the backing of the building, it only got so far. Like, you need that push for media, for sure. And it felt like the first time when he ran, it was like a landslide. The second time, it was like, they were starting to pull support away. Now it's not there.
But even that analogy, I feel like Interscope, it was like, all right, we can see we put out two albums. This is the third. We can see that the trajectory of this other guy, like, we know this is not going to be a winning situation. Yeah. Let's not put all our energy behind it, where it's like, I just got probably, he has a good chance to win.
Yeah.
So do we, like, cut off our nose to spite our face?
I don't know if DeSantis is a clear-cut winner. I like him. Like, if you ask the average person, why would he be better than Biden? I think he's looked at as, like, B-class to Trump. And Democrats have an even worse issue. If Biden doesn't run,
who do they have? Yeah, I don't know who it is.
The Rock?
Well, I think Biden definitely going to run again.
Yeah, I think so.
And I feel like it's a toss-up, because I don't think anybody's enthusiastic about voting for Biden.
Yeah.
And then DeSantis, he's the governor of an important state, Florida.
Absolutely.
He's Latinx descent.
Does he pass the eye test, though? That's the part that's key.
I think he has a good shot of winning.
Yeah.
Now, what that means in the grand scheme of things, who knows?
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of his.
Yeah.
But I'm not really a fan of any politician. But I do feel
except Donnie T, right? Big T.
Big T. So we'll see. But I feel that the Republicans have probably put most of their hope into him.
Yeah.
As opposed to trying to bring Donald Trump back for it, after the whole thing with the March on Washington, it's too much. It's too much to really, like, you know what I mean? Like, champion him again. Like, they would look crazy if they did that.
Not March on Washington. Attack on the Capitol.
Oh, yeah, March of Washington.
I'm going to make sure we clear.
Yeah.
Language
exactly.
Language
is important. They're going to be like, what?
Shade room. First thing in the morning. Rashad Bilal of Earn Your Allegiance said Donald Trump's March on Washington was better than Dr. King.
Attack on the Capitol is what we're going with.
Attack on the Capitol. Yes. But we do need better leadership in this country, which will lead us to this BRICS situation.
That is let's talk about this. So, all right. So the BRICS situation, that went viral last week when a lot of different things were posted about China and Russia, a variety of other different countries. So now Saudi Arabia has partnered with China to build an oil refinery for $12 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And China and Brazil have reached a deal to trade in their own currencies, ditching the U.S. dollar. What does this mean for our stock market, our economy, and what do we do to protect ourselves?
Yeah, this is the thing that people have been asking the most. It's like, what do I do to protect? So the two tech, two index strategy will work whether we're number one or number three, number five in the world. It's really important. We talked about it last night. I never said it before, but any company that you're investing in, you want to make sure that they have good relationships in China, Russia, and India. India especially, because their population is growing really fast. And Apple just happens to be building a huge plant there. We'll have a lot of jobs there, have good relationships in China and good market share. What does this mean for our stock market and economy? If we don't get our affairs in order, we're going to be in trouble. This is no different than, like, let's say I'm in, I don't know, the Bronx. And I go outside and say, nobody won't smoke with me in the Bronx.
Not a good idea.
And then that was nine people from the Bronx out. I'm like, Poppy, hold up.
Then you up and smoke.
Big facts, right? Up and smoke tour. Right? So now, if you ever seen Breaking Bad, like, America's Jesse Pinkman. Loud, obnoxious, troublemaker. And then all the cartels, which would be Brazil, Russia, India, China, South America. I'm even looking now and seeing Oman has joined. Of course, we talked about Kenya before. We've been a bully for so long that all of our enemies are coming together to work against us. That's why we talked about it last night. You have to be very careful who you go to war with, because this generation may not be the one that attacks you and defeats you. It may be the generation after. I don't want to be salacious and say what I said at the show, even though I believe it's true. Platform is bigger. But if we do not get our affairs in order, it's going to affect our stock market, because we really don't have any advantages anymore outside of military.
I'm glad you stopped right there, because the military was the number one thing for that region.
Yeah,
right. We were protecting our interests, right, which was oil at the time. But like these type of moves, when I read them and I see it, the number one thing I think of is our dominance is waning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how fast does it wane?
It'll be a 10 to 30 year period, but things can get bad over the next three really fast.
I think that statement is grossly exaggerated. And the reason that our dominance is waning.
Why?
Well, I'm going to say why. So I feel that, A, we talked about this before, America still has the strongest military in the world,
mm-hmm.
by far,
mm-hmm.
not even close. So from a military standpoint, nothing has really changed. The American dollar is still the strongest, most used currency in the world, by far. It's like a 100-yard head start in front of the next currency.
But we about to blow our knee out like how I did when I got fouled. You know
but then also, I don't think it's the world is becoming flat. So a lot of this stuff is politicized, but everybody's working together and everybody is moving around. But when you look at who really runs the world is corporations.
Mm-hmm.
90% of the top corporations are American-based companies. So when you have Apple, when you have Amazon, when you have Google, when you have Meta, mm-hmm. when you have Microsoft, the common denominator is that those are all American companies. So, and they're all international companies. So they mm-hmm. do business in China, they do business in India, they do business in Africa, they're going to do business all over the world. But the world is driven by technology, mm-hmm. and all of the strongest technology companies are American companies.
But we outsource a lot of our tech to India.
Workers.
Which is key, which is a huge mistake too. Also, like, notice Apple and Microsoft over the last 10 years, Tesla's tried to make a huge push into China.
Global
they
expansion.
Also are protecting their interest to make sure that they're dominant in other countries if we fall. You guys don't have to listen to me, even though I said this 2 years ago, and then I see everybody tag me in that wealth post. Shout out to them.
Yeah.
I'm like, I've been telling you this is coming. But if Apple and China are building that big-ass facility in India and China, there is a reason why.
Well, I think that it's only intelligent to... Why are we in Canada? We're not local. We're not minimizing ourselves to America.
Mm-hmm.
You would be an extremely unintelligent person if you only do business in the area that you actually live.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the world is your oyster. So you should be finding ways that you can make money across different borders and across different mm-hmm. regions. So if you're the biggest companies in the world, why would you not invest infrastructure in different economies?
At one point, we didn't have to, though.
Right. This is awesome. So that the word waning is like, let's say 20 years ago, could you even imagine Saudi Arabia saying that we're not using this currency anymore?
Well, Saudi Arabia never said that they wasn't using the currency.
Well, but in the deal with them in China for the oil.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying.
And also,
that's one deal.
I'm saying 20 years ago, that wouldn't even be a thought.
Like a super conspiracy like that. That would have, like, now, India were trading in rupees going forward, ditching the U.S. dollar.
Yeah, but like I said, a lot of this stuff is semantics because
that's not semantics.
It's not a major threat to America. Everybody knows that China's economy is on pace to pass America. Mm-hmm. It's been documented for the last 20 years.
But I've always said
I think that's two different conversations, right? Like, is it a major threat? Maybe not. Is the dominance waning? I think so.
Dominance,
but it doesn't have to be. It's not a major threat. Yeah, that's what I said.
And
how long does this take?
About 30 years. Listen to me, please. Right? But 30 goes by fast, but we're going to see a huge change in 10. And it's not China versus U.S. It's China plus India, plus Ghana, plus Kenya, plus Mexico. Okay, now if we're going to be super honest, when that virus came here, that was stage one of war. When that fentanyl got shipped to Mexico and Mexico moved it to the States, that's phase two. TikTok, phase three. Dollar, phase four. No one else was talking about this 2 years ago. You think I went to Mexico just because the tequila good and the... Yo, what?
Easy.
No, I'm like, I want to get away just in case things go down. Como se dice, I told you so. How you say I told you so in Spanish? How you say it in French? Let me know. I'm telling you, y'all don't have to listen to me. This happens all the time. Bitcoin never gonna fall that far. And then it falls, and then I'm like, told you so. We'll monitor the situation. Bricks. An old gangster that was like a gangster in 1982 and all the young boys running them off the block now? That's America. Get off my block, Otis. I'm playing with you no more.
Get up, Craig.
Get up, Craig.
We will monitor the situation.
Yes.
For sure. We will monitor the situation.
So we got 30 years. All right.
Yeah.
But like I said, I mean, even if America is not number one, not the end of the world.
That's true. That's why, is it a major threat? Maybe not a major threat, but going from one to two, that means the dominance is winning.
But as investors, my favorite
Yes, the dominance is winning for sure.
Okay.
But it's not it's not a drastic fall. That's what I'm saying. It's like the decline is going like this.
Yeah.
But everybody has already seen the decline. It's not a surprise.
But here's the thing, and this is like that business lesson, right? If you're not growing a business, what are you doing?
Dying. The kid, the dog, everybody dying, no lying. Hey, jeans too tight, leadership terrible. We exported everything that was great about America to another country and got mad when other countries took our model, remixed it, and used it against us. We got to keep some stuff homegrown. Also, as investors, the most important exercise is this. What do you do if everything goes wrong at one time? 25 years ago, when I was buying a Shine album or something, I never would have thought Brazil, Russia, India, China would come together and say they were going to come off the petrodollar and we would lose our tech dominance. Even being here in Toronto, their main institution, like main sector that is doing well is the banks.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of 1980 through 2007.
Yeah.
Once we went super tech heavy, it led to the downfall because we started printing money too fast and putting too much money into these companies. It's led to our downfall.
I think that's true for even this economy right here in Canada. It's like to have that level of dominance from one sector is risky.
Yeah, they're going to slowly diversify.
Right?
Like, I don't want to labor this point too much, because we have other stuff to talk about, but here's my last thing about America. America definitely has a lot of issues, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that America has over the vast majority of almost every other country in the world is that all these other countries, the government really runs the country. America, business runs the country.
Yeah.
So when you go to China, it's like the government is stronger mm-hmm. than the private sector.
Mm-hmm.
Even here, they were saying like how strong the government is out here, like as far as the rules and regulations. You can go down the list, any African country, the Middle East, whatever. Mm-hmm. That leads to slower growth in the private sector. It's a reason why 90% of the companies mm-hmm. that are bigger in the world are American-based.
I agree.
When you have government that is in control of the situation, it is not beneficial to private sector growth.
Mm-hmm.
So I say that to say America still has a tremendous advantage from a political standpoint, because even though it's hard to get anything done because politicians don't really have that much power, that's actually beneficial for business
mm-hmm.
because now that leads to businesses becoming independent.
Mm-hmm.
And business really runs government because lobbyists pay for politicians and they push through what they want to get done.
Yeah.
So no other country really has that system running as efficiently and effectively as America. It's not even close, like I said. All those other countries that you just named, the government runs everything. Saudi Arabia, the king runs everything. Yeah, the kingdom runs everything.
Yeah. What happens when you have the government that creates the company that can now attack?
That's they already have that. That's with China. That's with Russia. But I'm just saying it hasn't worked. It doesn't work in the same manner. It's been proved.
Has TikTok
that? Worked? That's TikTok one company. But
I'm just saying that's a good example.
But what I'm saying is that one or two Alibaba, it's gonna pop up.
Yeah.
At mass scale, they don't have 100 companies. True. They don't have 500 companies.
It's difficult.
It doesn't work in that same manner because government is not efficient in that. Government is to provide for people.
Mm-hmm.
It not politicians are not business people. This is why when...
In the States, In general,
for the most part. There's always going to be exceptions to the rule.
Yeah.
But for the most part, this is why the socialist governments, they don't work.
Yeah,
you can't run business if you're not a business person.
Yeah. It's tougher to do at scale.
Extremely difficult.
Yeah,
but when I saw Putin and Xi Jinping making pancakes together, I've been friends with Ty for like 25 years. I never made no
pancakes.
In public. You know how long you have to be friends with somebody to make pancakes with them in public? So what if they go to labor your point? Hey, this traditionally hasn't worked, and they're making pancakes together, putting a little honey on it, do the Salt Bae thing. What if they go to Elon, because Elon is not from the States, and say, hey, move Tesla over here. No taxes for 50 years, and we'll make sure that you have global dominance in China. What would that do to our market? All these Indian CEOs.
Nothing.
If they
don't do anything.
They wouldn't do nothing to our market?
Tesla's one company. Tesla's still going to operate under American Stock Exchange.
I think nothing is a vast overstatement.
It will do something. But, and with Indian CEOs, if they get incentivized to go back to India, a bill more there, and we lose four big major players, what happened? We can say it though, Matt. We saw what happened to Cleveland when Bron left.
Shout out to Donovan Mitchell.
All right. Okay. We'll revisit this conversation. So let's talk about AI. Let's talk. Okay. So who will be the four most dominant companies in the AI space? And we got to have Keys on here sometime, too, to talk about
that.
Yeah,
I thought he was going to be here today.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. We should have had him on today.
Yeah,
my brother. But, all right.
We didn't know he was going to be here. Listen, if you shut up the meet and greet and say he didn't know who's going to be there.
That is a fact.
Sorry.
That is a fact.
All on the poster.
So AI, let's talk about four most dominant companies in the AI space.
Of course, Apple, Microsoft, Google will probably be the three biggest players. The fourth, I don't think we've seen created yet.
I think we have.
Ooh, which one?
I think we have, and we just kind of overlook it.
Tell me more.
Amazon.
Tell me more.
All right, so let's think about AI, right? Inside their homes, you got Alexa.
Okay.
Let's think about the stores, cashless stores. Right? Let's think about e-commerce. How do they know what we want? They're using AI. How do they know what to recommend for us? Right? Let's think from logistics.
Yeah.
Are they doing drone deliveries?
Mm-hmm.
They're here. Right? They're already here.
Yeah.
The fact that they're already doing all these things and we're not even mentioning them, plus they have the capital and the infrastructure, it's like, wait, why are we not talking about them in the AI race?
Yeah.
I think even before Google, I would say NVIDIA for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I would put in the other semi, AMD, just from what they're creating. Now, AMD is behind what NVIDIA is doing right now.
Yeah.
But I like AMD. I think it's Apple. I think it's Microsoft as a four. But I think Amazon, I think we need to make it five.
That's interesting.
I think, and then I got a sleeper. I'll let y'all give you other ones. Then I'll give you a sleeper, I think, as well.
I think Tesla is one of the most important.
Yeah.
Because transportation is what everybody's really waiting for.
Yeah.
So I just saw Alex Good Energy. Shout out to him. He was in a convention for truckers, and they have the battery that can charge the 18-wheeler in 80% in 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's incredible.
So they're already working on autonomous driving 18-wheelers.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that within the next 20 years, it will really be on the road as far as cars that's driving themselves.
Yeah.
The technology's already there, but it's so tough politically.
Yeah.
But it's only a matter of time. And even without cars driving themselves, there's still AI in
evolved, yeah.
But the efficiency of transportation has to evolve.
Yeah.
Especially on planes. Everything. You think of drones, all so I feel like transportation, artificial intelligence is really gonna change that landscape. Tesla is taking the lead in that and probably will be the leader from a transportation standpoint, not just from a car. I think from an 18-wheeler transportation standpoint, they're already working on trains. And I see a Tesla plane happening.
That would be incredible.
I can see a Tesla plane.
So those are even that company. So Tesla makes the product.
Yeah.
And that's what we talked about this last night. Let's find the companies that are helping making sure that product runs efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we know if it's autonomous driving, they're going to need semis that do autonomous. What are the companies that are doing that? So I think that's a great point. Transportation for sure. But like that's an opportunity.
Yeah.
Find the companies that are helping making sure that the charging stations are efficient, making sure that the batteries are efficient, making sure that the AI inside, the LED screen, like all these things have companies that are behind them.
And if you want to know a resource that you can use, you can go to either A16Z, shout out to the family, or Y Combinator to see like which AI companies are going to like be leaders in the next 2 or 3 years that could get acquired by Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, Tesla. Even with Sam at Open Labs, it's interesting. Well, homework assignment. What institution or company was Sam Altman a part of before ChatGPT came to the forefront? He was very smart to like look at everyone's ideas, provide funding, and then put the best of those ideas together like into one or two products.
And with ChatGPT, I was talking to Keys. Like, remember why I was talking about the integration with crypto and Web3 and how it all got to come together?
Yeah.
So the ChatGPT thing, A few companies will benefit from it, and we'll see full integration. Imagine when ChatGPT is part of your notes.
Yeah.
On your iPhone.
Yeah.
Right. So when you write in your notes, you just start the sentence, and then based off of how you're actually writing, then it can and finish it for you.
Yeah.
Like, or when it's fully integrated with Microsoft Word.
Yeah.
That
plugin is not for Instacart, a couple other retailers.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine when they have like a full app store.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
So those companies would definitely benefit from it for sure. And yeah, like ChatGPT is still in its infancy stages. And it's still not like when the app is fully developed on your phone and it's, you know, on the iPhone homepage.
Yeah.
And you just go to it and it's like fully integrated with your iPhone notes.
Yeah.
And you can literally write a book in 10 minutes on your iPhone notes.
Mm-hmm.
That changes everything.
Yeah.
So I feel like, yeah, for sure. The companies that already have the infrastructure in place, Apple, Microsoft, they're going to definitely benefit from
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
And then all of the other ancillary companies, for sure.
There's another one, and I'd be interested to hear your thoughts.
What's the sleeper? Hold on.
It's crazy y'all ending with the word I was going to start with, but you said infrastructure, and I'm talking large-scale enterprise. What do you think about IBM? Now, this is a company, this is a legacy brand, right?
Yeah.
But when we talk about software, when we talk about hardware, when we talk about services, at large scale,
yeah.
They've been here doing it. In fact, we overlook it, right? But Watson was one of those first AI things that
we
marveled at. And it was way too early. We saw it on Jeopardy and it kind of crashed out. But that what we were seeing it happen in real time, right? And they sold off Watson. But like IBM is one of those companies when I think about large scale and from an enterprise, because corporate still uses them.
Yeah.
They might have an opportunity as well as a sleeper in the space.
You need new leadership. That's the only thing. Like, you need a regime change. Like, not trying to, like, offend anybody. There's a ceiling on games you can win. Like, let's say, if, like, Stan Van Gundy's your coach. Shout out to Stan and Jeff. I love you guys so much. These are just my thoughts, not Trevor Rashad. So if they end up, you know, interviewing you, these were my comments. I love you, brother. but I think with the CEO that they've had, I think IBM's gotten really comfortable. And they haven't pushed for it. I think they got comfortable off the wins and the victories in the 80s and 90s. And then everyone came to take their lunch in the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
Infrastructure is there for sure. I just think you need new leadership to be able to pull that off.
A sleeper giant.
Could be.
That's why I call it a sleeper.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. And yeah, we'll have a more in-depth AI conversation. We'll get Keys on here like one of these weeks.
Yeah, and the hologram with Stan Van Gundy, too.
For sure.
How do you think it'll affect the NBA and the NFL?
The what?
The AI.
How will it affect it?
That would be crazy. Like, if coaches started using AI to, like, run data on players. Because even my dad was telling me when he was doing the tour with the Raptors, with you guys, like, they were seeing if the shots were off or wasn't high enough. So imagine if you can make custom plans for players.
That's a bad shot. Here's why.
Yeah. So.
Well, everybody, once we start talking about AI, has anybody heard of virtual reality anymore? Nobody's even talking about virtual reality.
Yeah. Or NFTs.
Yeah. Or augmented reality.
Yeah.
But I always felt that virtual reality, augmented reality is the future of sports from a viewing standpoint.
Yeah.
It's like, if you can be front row to watch LeBron and you feel like you're actually front row, like, that's game changing.
Yeah, you can sell that ticket a million times.
Yeah.
For the same seat.
Absolutely.
Right. And we talked to some guys, we were with the NFLPA, not just from a game standpoint or a fan standpoint, but from an athlete standpoint.
Yeah.
Imagine if I didn't have to get hit in practice and I could go through practice virtually. Right? Like,
that's a game.
These are the type of things, like, I could actually have game film in my headset.
Yeah.
Now, do I have to spend 3 hours at the facility?
Yeah.
Right? It changes things. It makes things more efficient. But sports, like you said, like, virtual reality is one of those spaces was like, yeah, this makes a lot of sense. And there's a lot of money to be made. If I could sell the same seat at courtside at the Knicks game to 10,000 people, think about that. That's better than selling it once.
Absolutely.
But that's the thing. It's like, remember the metaverse? So it's like,
I'd even dirt you.
But I'm just saying, like, people have short attention spans. They focus on one thing at a time.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Dogecoin is the future.
I said it wasn't.
Then it's like, oh, the metaverse. Then it's like, oh, NFTs. Now it's like, oh, ChatGPT.
Mm-hmm.
So, but at one point, a lot of this stuff is going to start to merge together.
Yeah,
it's because there's still people in the metaverse.
Yeah.
It's just nobody cares. Seven. Nobody talks about it anymore. But at some point, that's going to have some viability to it.
Yeah.
At some point, you know what I mean? Like, augmented reality, virtual reality, they're going to get it right.
Yeah.
Like, and at some point, AI is going to be, you know, take over the whole situation. But it's like, these things have 6 months.
Yeah.
In talking points. It's like 6 months until something new comes out.
Thing comes out.
Our kids are still in the metaverse, right? If they're playing Roblox, not much difference.
Yeah. Apple, once they get that cost down for the headset.
But look, a lot of people brought land in the metaverse, real estate, $50,000 and all that.
Mistake.
That was stupid. Completely stupid.
Yes.
Because that's worth nothing. They paid $50,000 for a house in the metaverse.
To live next to Snoop.
But just think about that rationally. Why would you pay $50,000 for a house in the metaverse?
Ladies, if men won't do that, get in their DMs and promise them the world and get $200,000.
Some people were rationalizing it, right? Like, some people made it rational. And it was like, oh, okay. From a standpoint where it was like, oh, I can have people, we can do events inside here. They can have all types of incentives inside of it. I was like, okay. But yeah, if I don't own physical, it's going to be tough for me to do it.
But virtual. Even if you, like I said, FOMO, fear of missing out.
Yes.
People do things. You can rationalize anything.
Yes.
That's the scary part about life.
Mm-hmm. You can make an excuse for whatever you want to.
Anything.
Yeah.
Wasn't me.
Like, you could rationalize anything.
Yeah.
But doesn't mean it's rational.
Yeah. That's true.
So
it's a bar.
Yes, that is trademark.
It's a bar.
So just be careful with these new investments, these new things that, cause like I said.
Take your time.
And let's be honest, it's the VC firms that are pushing the propaganda behind it. NFTs didn't work. Let's move to metaverse. I told you I wasn't going to work. Shout out to Meta. Hi, Marin. Hi, John Wren. Thank you. I haven't got a cease and desist yet, which means I'm right. Thank you. I'll be there in 2 weeks. NFTs, dead in the water. AI is going to stay around. Stop me when I'm lying. Spiritu Santo.
I look back. We got a live audience.
Hey, what's up?
What's going on, fellas? Right?
So, and also, and for culturally, like, if you go to, like, your aunt, your grandma, your friend, and be like, hey, like, if I came to you and said, man, I'm going to send you a virtual house for $250, you like, what are you doing?
Send it over.
Hey, if you going to fall for that, listen, I can sell you the seat to be the next president of the United States. Don't get caught up in the next thing. Just buy the biggest companies. Like, follow what the five biggest governments, five biggest hedge funds are doing. Like, if BlackRock is not putting any money into virtual land or metaverse or digital OnlyFans girls, you shouldn't either.
Digital OnlyFans.
Leave it alone. She doesn't love you like that, bro. Let it go.
So what are some key indicators and metrics to look for when evaluating long-term potential for a company?
Yeah, for me now, given this potential threat of war, like, I don't think the United States is going to fall overnight, but I do need to see that they have a dominant run in other countries and other continents. So it's even interesting to see, and we were talking about it before, like, I think we were talking about it yesterday, like, Huawei, huge in China.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden, they wouldn't allow that tech here. Mm-hmm. Over fear of being taken over. Why? Because Apple lobbied, because they want to have more dominance in China. And if
the first 5G phone, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And if their tech is better, let's be real, some of the Android phones are way better than the iPhone. It's not more popular.
Better camera, for sure. Yeah,
better camera, for sure. But if the Huawei tech got here and they rebranded it or did it, let's say, like, with Tesla, and they made, like, a Tesla phone, and that was 2 times better than the iPhone, that would kill Apple's market share considerably. So now going forward, like, if a company does not have international exposure and does not have a good run in India or a good run in China, I cannot invest in it. Like, we can no longer invest in companies that just are dominant in America or maybe even just in North America. It's one of the biggest risks that you're going to have going forward in your portfolio.
So the economic landscape of countries.
Absolutely.
That's one of the, yeah. I mean, I wrote down, like, economic indicators. So, like, the GDP of a country.
That matters.
Like, the CPI, how much we're spending for our products matters.
Yeah. unemployment rate matters.
It matters a lot.
And then it was like fundamental indicators, and we spoke about it last night. It was like, number one, if I'm looking at a company long term, let me look at its technicals to see from its inception how it's performed.
Yeah.
And from that, let's see if the company's been profitable. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to invest in a company, I want to know that there's going to be some profitability.
Yeah.
Right? And then operating cash flow. How much free operating cash flow do they have? Because that tells me about the future of the company. Mm-hmm. It tells me how healthy they are. It tells me what they can do going forward. Yeah. Can they acquire a company? Are they going to be able to scale? When I'm looking for a long-term investment, those are the things I'm looking at, right? I mean, those are probably the most important indicator in any business, right? Can I scale?
Absolutely.
Do I have money to scale? What's the growth proposition? Can we acquire if we need, right? Like, those are things that I'm looking at.
And the GDP matters a lot. Like, imagine, like, after 50 and Jimmy Henchman got into it, did, like, 50 go to Jimmy Henchman's kid and teach him how to be a great business owner and how to start shows?
Sensitive topic.
Didn't, right? That's what we did with India and China. Like, we built India's and China's middle class. Now, all of a sudden, we were talking about it yesterday, right? Now, China came over to Toronto. They went to L.A. They went to New York. They bought all the building. They're like Michael Jackson. I want this one. I want this one. I'll take this one to go. Let me get 3 Lamborghinis. Mm. The parking space situation is crazy. They're building like crazy in Mexico. We raised our enemies how to defeat us with our strategy and our tech. We have to be very careful. And I'm not doing this to be sensational, but we have to do realize, like, we are on our last days, and if we don't correct this ship very soon, we're going to end up being like an economic version of Titanic. But what about you? What key indicators are important to you when you're looking at a company?
Assets over liabilities, right? Yes.
The balance sheet.
Your balance sheet.
And that's really all you need.
Well, I mean, ultimately, it's like, you know, keep your debt. I mean, all right. The golden rule in life is to keep your debt low and keep your income high.
Absolutely.
If you can do that, you'll be very successful.
Absolutely.
And who has done that the best? Apple. They have no debt and they have $1 billion in cash.
Yeah.
84 to be exact.
So it's like, you know, yeah, we can make this more complicated, but those companies that have never made any money, that are over leveraged, that have a lot of debt, that's talking about potential. Potential get coaches fired.
That's a bar.
Potential get coaches fired. I learned that when I was in college. My coach used to tell me all the time. He's like, potential get coaches fired. Mm. What I mean is, like, you draft a player and you're saying, like, oh, I think he's going to be good. Yeah. I think he's going to do this. No, what is he doing?
Yeah.
Everybody has potential.
Yes.
It's too much of a risk to try to play off of potential. Yeah. What are they currently doing? This goes back to the conversation 6 months ago, a year ago. Everybody was like, why y'all keep talking about stocks? That's old. That's outdated. Talk about crypto. Talk about NFTs. Talk about that. You're basing this off of potential. All of that fell apart, and the stock market is still here.
He said it. I didn't say it.
But I'm just saying, people need somewhere to live. Real estate's forever.
Absolutely.
Stocks, right? If the stock market crashes, we got big problems.
Oh, yeah. Our country's
so dead. It's like, yeah, it's okay to take some risks every once in a while, but you're basing this off of potential and you're trying to hit home runs and you're striking out. If you ever play baseball, you know that every home run hitter has more strikeouts than they have hits.
Yeah.
So it's like, stop trying to find something in a company when there's already companies that are easily identifiable.
Yeah. Yep. Like, simple and safety wins. Going back to the Tim Duncan thing, wasn't the flashiest player, could have been born. That's like Eli Lilly, but slowly and surely continues to put wins up on a board versus like Dogecoin was hot. Jeremy Lin one summer and then fell apart. Shout out to Jeremy Lin. Amazing career. Appreciate you so much. See, they got me caping for everybody I talk about. They cousins be in my DM like, yo, I'm Jeremy cousin. Remember when I see you a smoke. I don't know smoke. I'm just trying to be funny. I'm sorry. But invest in things that are going to give you return for the long term. And also, like, seeing the market here in Toronto, I'm like, our real estate is underpriced. You have to invest. What if the value of our homes comes up and they're almost equal to what the pricing is here?
Well, you say underpriced.
Well, outside
of Texas.
And?
Because in New York, it's not underpriced.
Illinois, you guys are overpriced.
It's overpriced.
Illinois, Indiana, majority of the Midwest, underpriced. Alabama, Tennessee, even like Nashville is still underpriced in comparison to what it is here.
You said Nashville?
Yeah.
That's on the rise.
It's on the rise. But I mean,
shout out to
I think we underlooked Toronto, right? Because we treat it like it's not a major city, and it is.
It's like 7 million people.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, what is
and it's the cleaner New York.
I'll give you that.
Everybody in New York. I haven't seen no trash outside, no pizzeria. I'm like, it's beautiful here, despite being 29. They're like, oh, it's a warm season. I'm like, damn.
Well, when you if you compare it to that, then the real estate in Toronto is actually underpriced.
Or it might be. I mean, if we're looking at New York,
if you compare it to New York,
right,
or LA, it's underpriced.
Ooh. Slightly,
vastly.
I'm sure the residents in Toronto don't want to hear that. The prices we heard. How much a 5-bedroom costs here?
The good area. Well, let's do a 2-bedroom apartment downtown. $800,000 for a 2-bedroom apartment downtown. That's a studio in Manhattan. Maybe.
That's crazy.
Without parking. There was a studio apartment in Manhattan that sold for $1 million.
I can believe that.
Brownstone in Brooklyn, $3 million for a brownstone.
To buy.
In Harlem, in Brooklyn.
Wow.
Underpriced.
So a 5-bedroom, nice area. Well, like the little strip where Carabana used to be. What's that? We're going to be back here in August.
Yeah. I mean, it's right there. $5 million. It's right there.
Y'all quit coming to Houston.
It's a major city.
It's full.
I got a lot of space.
Yeah.
And Toronto has a lot of international money coming over.
Absolutely.
It's an international city, so it's a melting pot. So people come all over.
It's a major city. We're going to treat it as such.
Absolutely.
They got film industry.
They got everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's underpriced. Buy now.
Over 5 years, right? The same game in real estate. Like, you can want to flip something in 30 days, and, you know, I'm sure you're going to run into the guys like, bro, I got a bag for you. What can you do in 60 days? Nothing.
Like,
for 5 years, 10 years.
We need to get in contact with the tourism board. They were like, they told us, market money, they said come up here and buy.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah,
we need a spot in Brandon.
Only America is about to inflate the price.
About to run this thing up.
Jesus.
What the splits is.
A 2-bedroom is 800? You know what you get for 800 in Houston?
A mansion.
Ray J, indoor pool, outdoor pool. Damn. Go right to Humble. You'll be a king. Live like Big Beach right now, Humble.
Yeah, there's only a few cities where that, I mean, New York, LA, Miami probably.
Miami's
where
you're crazy.
Miami's getting crazy.
Phoenix is getting crazy, too.
800 for a 2-bedroom.
Oh, I could. Large house. I got a dog house in the backyard. Even my dog
my
house
dog got
a backyard.
My dog house got a backyard.
Boy.
Shout out to Cassie.
Jesus.
So let's go into this dead or alive segment.
Okay.
Oh, man. Let's do it. Ian, you ready?
DOA.
So y'all know how this works, man. We're going to run down some companies, tell you the vitality signs of them.
Yes.
If they're alive and thriving, or if we need to put them in the tombstone. All right. So let's start with this. J.P. Hunt. Ticker JBHT is trading at around $175. They're up 5% over the last 5 days, and they're positive. I think they just went positive for the year. For those not in the know, J.P. Hunt is a transport service, American transportation logistics company, primarily operates large semi-trucks and provides transportation services throughout the continental U.S., here in Canada, as well in Mexico. What's your thoughts on J.B. Hunt?
J.B. Hunt's one of those boring companies that no one talks about, but if you look on an expressway, like, you'll see the trucks moving around. This one's alive and well. I mean, it's dropped off from that high of 218. It's currently at 177. It's one of those quiet killers no one ever, like, talks about. Like, easy bucket. Like, Jamal crossover type vibes. Don't get enough credit. But, yeah, J.B. Hunt is alive and well. And it'll do well for, like, the next 10 years. If I can get it, like, at 120 or 111, 13, I will hold it for a 4 or 5 year period. And it probably gets to 270 like in 3 years. Slow but steady. But yeah, I like this one.
This next one, when I did the research showing it, I was like, all right, let me see what Ian's going to go with this.
Mm-hmm.
EQT, trading around the $31, $32. It's a corporation in America that focuses on hydrocarbon exploration and pipeline transport. Thoughts?
It's as injured as my knee is right now. I won't say that it's dead, but I wouldn't put money here. They are injured, serious injury. They don't have a strong competitive advantage.
And if we look back at their house in 2015, that was at $60. And they've been operating since 1987, I think. So for a company that's been alive that long, and their high of $60, that's like a player only scoring 15 points in, like, for his game high.
His career high?
Yeah, it's like, I wouldn't want to touch this. I'm not going to say it's dead, but I would not.
I'm not touching this one.
No.
All right, this is an interesting one. Iron Mountain, ticker IRM, trading at around $53. It's up 15% over the past 6 months. All right, so this is American Enterprise Information Management Service Company. As of 2020, this is an interesting stat, right? Mm-hmm. As of 2020, over 94% of Fortune 1000 companies use Iron Mountain services to store and manage their information in some capacity. Information I didn't even know when I looked that up. What's your thoughts on Iron Mountain?
They have those boxes. Iron Mountain, right? Mm-hmm.
You saw what?
Like they have like those like moving boxes?
Yeah.
Whenever you move out of an office.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
If you ever moved an office, because I've moved several different offices, they always use the Iron Mountain box.
Exactly. Yeah.
I wish I would have known this when I was playing Juvenile in 2000. It's one of those ones they've been dominant since 2000. This one is alive and well. And like you said, it's one of those spaces where, like, unless you're actually in it, kind of like a Ecolab. Like, unless you've been in a hospital somewhere, you don't know to even invest in it. Iron Mountain is a very good company. Slow and steady. Great return. I don't see them going away. And, I mean, especially as the commercial space starts to collapse and dwindle down, I think they're going to become even more important.
Yeah, it's crazy because, like, even now you're saying it, like, you see these things in your everyday life, and you don't even realize, like, wait, this is a publicly traded company, right? Like, we're moving, you moved a couple of times, and, like, you're never thinking, like, oh, this is a company that's doing this for large-scale enterprise and throughout the country, throughout North America, really.
Yeah.
Life is an open book test. All you got to do is read.
Yeah, look at the signs.
Yeah.
Read the pages on the book.
Everything that's made in any building, in any house, normally 60% of it is publicly traded. Got to find an advantage.
All right, let's go to this one here. Let's go to Ventus, ticker VTR. All right, it's trading around $43. They're down 4% on the year. They're down 31% since last April. So almost that's year to date. It's a real estate investment trust specializing in ownership and management of healthcare facilities in the U.S., here in Canada, and the United Kingdom. Thoughts on Ventus Inc.?
They're low. All time is like $2.03. That was in 2000. I mean, of course, 2020, they went through some trouble. They got to a low of $14. I'm not going to say that it's dead, but you need to go call you and your friends and your auntie and go pay your little respects. Go up there, put a little holy water on it and pray that it gets better. But I wouldn't be surprised if in like 5 or 6 years, this company just goes back to like $4 and almost goes under.
Like vital signs.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let's do this one. General Holdings, ticker GNRC. Now, they had a horrific 2022. Horrific. Terrible. They were down 65% since last April, right? The high is 316. Give you a little background on them. They're a leading energy technology company that provides advanced power grid software solutions, backup and prime power systems for your home and industrial applications, solar and battery storage. But they were on the list of America's most trustworthy companies.
Let me ask y'all a question. If we go from 100,000 views a week on average, right, and we go down to like 15,000, we want to have a talk, right? We got to monitor the situation.
Company meeting.
Real quick. Ian, we love you, bro. It's been great. Love everything.
Yo, when you free.
But these numbers not numbering, right? So I look at this chart, like, you can be optimistic and be like, okay, great. It went from 524 to 148. Anybody in here, would you like to own a stock that went from $524 and it dropped to almost 130? No.
Read the signs.
It's not good. I'm not going to say that it's dead, but vital signs.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the chart, it's before I haven't looked anything, I don't have to look at the balance sheet. I just look at the chart and I'm saying to myself, same thing you saw, 500, we're down to 108.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough. And then you could do the research and see, you know, what the debt was, what the liabilities were, where's the cash flow going. Those things come after. But just looking at the chart, it's glaring enough to say, all right, maybe this isn't an investment I should make at this time. So, all right, we got like two more. Okay. Two more. Let's go with the Altria Group, ticker MO, trading at $44. One of the world's largest producers of tobacco, cigarettes, and related products. Most people don't know the group, but this is a major player.
Yeah, I don't like what the company does.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be very clear on that. I'm anti companies that destroy and damage our people or our bodies, and there's some pharma companies that go in there as well. Altria is in trouble, though. I have it going down to $29.89 in about 24 months. It's currently at 45. I wouldn't touch it. And as the world becomes more health conscious as well, and legislation has been pushed through, I don't see how they can have a competitive advantage in the landscape internationally. Will they be around for another 10 years? Probably. Mm. But they won't have any significant impact. They kind of go like in an IBM class of like they were great in the 80s and 90s and the 70s, but they're not dominant anymore. I wouldn't touch this at all.
All right, the last one is Roku. Now, we talked about Roku, I mean, since the inception of the show. 2020, it got hammered. It went down from $134 to $40, mm-hmm. right at its low. Here's the bright spot, though. In 2023, it's been up 62%. What are your thoughts on Roku?
More from 490. It is at 63.
Yeah.
Espiritu Santo.
Yeah. Up 62% this year.
I mean, if you lose 500,000 one year and then you get up 50,000 one year, is it really a victory?
So is this like a dead cat bounce? A long, expanded one?
It's a dead, I think they'll probably get acquired. Because if you look at Netflix, Paramount, Amazon is a competitor, of course, mm-hmm. with their Prime show, which the show Jack Reacher is really good, surprisingly.
Yeah.
The Fire Stick, Apple's a competitor. Apple's about to put $2 billion into films because they want to clean up the Oscars.
Yeah.
I don't want them as a competitor. So if you're buying Roku, you're literally saying, I think Roku is going to outperform Netflix, Paramount Plus, shout out to 19 Keys, Pornhub, OnlyFans. You think they're going to perform Apple? No, you're not going to outperform all those players.
You're not, but knowing all that information that you just said, does that make it a viable investment, knowing that there's a potential for an acquisition?
An acquisition? I like it. If it gets to like 33 or 41, that's the only place I would buy it.
Because right, they have a media player itself.
Yeah.
I mean, Apple has the Apple TV.
Which is trash.
You can see it being acquired by a company like that, which doesn't hurt the company. Yeah. If you're investing in it, it helps you.
Have you ever seen a Roku box in somebody else?
I've never seen it.
Have you? Doesn't pass the eye test. If I say like I'm the greatest player to ever come from the Midwest and you don't see me hit like a shot, you can't be that. If I haven't seen the actual product out.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
That's the other bricks, the fake bricks. Come on, I haven't seen them boxes in nobody's home. So great run during 2020. And that's why you say like the recession really shows you what companies are doing well.
Right.
Which management teams are doing well and which ones are not. Yeah.
That's true. I mean, if you look at a lot of those companies, they weren't able to come back. They haven't rebounded.
The 540, that's like a price Tesla should be at.
It really shouldn't have been. But let's take a Peloton, who had a drastic fall and can't rebound.
That's over with.
Right?
Yeah.
There's some signs, but we're not investing in this just yet.
Yeah.
But not dead.
Not dead. I wouldn't invest in this yet. $33, if I wanted, and this would be like my C class, like this is the third round of the NBA draft. This is clearly like not first. Yeah. This G League. Yeah. Shout out to everybody in the G League. Ish. Shout out to your nephew.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And I think it's in an ARK fund. So if you want to do it in ETF.
It gives you more confirmation that it's dead. Shout out to Kathy. I love you, Queen. I appreciate you.
Hey, Kathy.
So let's talk about Instagram. Will no longer be paying influencers for Reels. Mm-hmm. So what's the biggest takeaway that entrepreneurs need to learn from this lesson going forward?
You went over last night. You need at least 7 streams, and you can depend on one. You can't depend on one platform. Anytime you attach yourself to like one media outlet and you're not omnipresent, as we're doing this live show, I love you guys so much. Yes, that is me typing in the comments.
As he's on stage.
Yeah, as he's on stage, right? You have to be everywhere. That's the same thing as like putting all of your money into one stock. You cannot just be in one place. Now, of course, Meta did that because they were trying to compete with TikTok. And now that it feels like the legislation may potentially ban it, it's like, we don't need to pay. You put up the content for free. We talked about the verification badge and everyone being able to pay for it. It does devalue it, but they need to find ways to generate revenue. If you guys can push through that, make the post go to every follower, you have people that will willingly pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an issue of, like, you cannot attach yourself to one stream of income, one platform. It is the biggest mistake. The one of the first things my dad taught me in business, one of anything is the worst number. Unless it's someone that you love.
Thank you for cleaning that. That was nice cleanup right there.
One's too close to none. That's
big facts.
You learn that in the basics.
Yeah.
But that's definitely something that Ryan Leslie was saying, where if you're on social media, you're renting your space on social media.
That's a gem. Yep.
So data collection is extremely important. Figuring out how to reach your audience in different verticals is extremely important. Mm-hmm. And not solely relying on any one thing for revenue is extremely important. I don't think anybody was making a bunch of money on Reels anyway.
There was a couple people that was making like $30,000 a month, and if you don't have another skill set, that could have been a nice little
thing. Got 30?
Yeah, got something. But the views have to be crazy, but yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, Meta is up 67% this year, mm-hmm. their stock. They started paying for blue checks now, so that'll bring in a bunch of money.
Yeah. You laid off 50,000 people.
That's so what's saving. The outlook for Meta? Like I said, it's up. The stock has risen 67% in the last 3 months.
I think he looked at the landscape and reevaluated where they were going. Mm-hmm. At the end of 2021, we were talking about the most important stocks. I said Meta is going to be one of the most important stocks in 2022. Why? Because the focus was going to be on the metaverse. He's allocated $50 billion to it. Mm-hmm. 2022, they realized this is probably not going to be a great investment.
Yeah.
How can we make more money?
Yeah.
We were trying to compete with YouTube. I know they're paying creators. They tried that. They said, nah.
Yeah.
We need to have more revenue in. So what do? First thing, cut jobs.
Yeah.
Next thing.
And that frees up a whole bunch of money. Right. That balance sheet. Yeah, I mean, they're above their 50-day. 50% retracement all time. So. Yeah. They're doing amazing. Like, I have to give them credit. Zuckerberg is back hungry, too. Like, for a little bit, it felt like Sergey at Google and Zuckerberg were just, like, coasting by. I don't know if you guys, like, in the creator channel that he has on Instagram, but, like, every day he's showing a new feed or something he's doing at his desk.
Who was that?
Zuckerberg.
He just had a kid.
Well, hi, Priscilla. How are you? That does help. Anytime you have a kid, that gives you a different hunger. Yeah. And also, you're fighting for your legacy. Because at one point, they were talking about how can we get them out. They've done a great job of, like, letting go of jobs, being a little bit more lean. They still have a way to go.
Mm-hmm. They cut back on the spending for the metaverse.
Which was key.
They admitted to that.
Yeah.
They stopped sending money out for Reels.
Yeah.
So.
Got to keep costs down. Keep income high. Debt low. They're doing a good job. So they've been bouncing this year. I'm not sold on Metaverse. I'm not sold on Meta until they give a full plan or guidance for the next 5 years. They got Zuckerberg coming up here right now. Mark, I'm just playing. They got the little walkie-talkie security people up here to come and say, hey, emergency meeting right now.
We found him.
We found him.
He said our name again.
To Menlo Park.
We located him.
He's in Toronto. He's been spotted.
My God. He can't run out of here fast. Get him right now.
He's crossed the border. He has crossed the border. On his way to Russia.
Somebody walking to stop this taping?
I need to see what they're going to do with Instagram. And the crazy part is, even though I may like TikTok more, like, Instagram's a more dominant asset. It's kind of like, remember when, like, LeBron lost the first time in Dallas and people was like, man, I wish he would just get in the paint and score 40. Instagram is, like, one of our best technological assets, but it's not being used correctly. Like, the morning news should be displayed through Instagram. There's so many opportunities that they have that they're not using. But if they put out a plan, I'll be back positive.
One thing before we leave, so I put this post up yesterday, and it's crazy. We were just talking about it in the car, and it just went viral on social media. So
which
it was
one?
Five jobs that AI will soon replace.
Okay.
Five jobs that AI won't replace. Mm. And literally, this was the conversation that we were just having. It was me, Troy, 19 Keys, Abdullah, and we kind of came up with some different ones. So I want to get all of you guys' takes on Ian, your take on it.
Yeah.
Five jobs that AI will soon replace. Soon.
We'll go first?
Well, I'm gonna read the list.
Okay. Yeah, we was going back and forth.
Customer service representatives.
Big facts.
Taxi and truck drivers.
Okay.
Medical assistants.
That is true.
Cashier.
Very true.
Now, this one, Keys actually brought this up, and I wasn't fully sold on it, and then he kind of fully explained it, and then we... Computer coders.
Oh, I agree 1,000%.
Well, because you still need a coder.
But you don't, you sound like camera on my computer.
You need the coder to code the coder. So even though AI can be a computer coder,
yes,
you need a person to train the coder.
Yeah.
You need somebody to train the AI to code.
But think of it like this. Like if you have an orchestra, you have the conductor and everyone behind. Imagine if you can just have one person. So now, like, I'm even seeing junior coders now use ChatGPT and they have, like, the experience of someone who's been doing, like, 10 or 15 years. And I tell the story all the time. I let go of eight people. I had the fortune to no longer work with eight people, and they were able to flourish in other areas of their life that they wanted to be a part of.
You looked at the landscape and said, let's cut costs.
I said, yo. I said, wait, you don't miss any emails or text back or...
More efficient.
It's way more efficient. So if I run a code or a script and I ask ChatGPT to improve upon it, as if they are a senior coder at Meta or Google, and it gives me the code in 2 minutes, I mean, I think that's amazing.
Out of those four, I think the only one I don't think is soon. Like, there's four that's like, yo, that's happening now, right? When we talked about the Amazon store. I don't know if we're there yet for transportation. It will happen, but I just don't know if it's soon.
Soon as far as not, maybe not tomorrow.
Yeah.
But the writing's on the wall.
This is one of those things. The other four, it's like, no, we can see that happening.
Customer service reps. That's
now.
Even at the hotel, we was having a conversation at 3 o'clock in the morning about ChatGPT. It was me, Mike, Franz. We was in the lobby. I think it was MG Mortgage guy was down there. And
y'all was all late last night.
Whatever. This was the night before.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So the guy at the hotel, he was just eavesdropping on the conversation. He works at the front desk, and he was like, I use ChatGPT every day. I mean, yeah, he was like, emails to clients. He was like, you know, somebody has a leaky faucet or somebody has a complaint, and I just use it. And he was like, every time I send an email, it's a different email.
Every time.
So he was like, I'm using that right now. So from the customer service standpoint, done. AI is over. It's done. The cashier is almost done.
Every time I go into Kroger, like, it's one person working there.
That's done. Yeah. So, all right. So five jobs that AI won't replace. So.
That was one. It was like, we sat for like 5 minutes. And I'm like, just throwing out things. I'm like,
the athlete.
Okay.
Can't see an AI replacing the athlete yet. I agree. Barber.
Listen, if Tristan gets a hold, like, okay, Tristan has a unique experience, right? Bevel hasn't been as hot. True. But I have seen some machines that can do, like, a decent...
Precision. Jalen Rose type stuff.
No, I haven't seen that yet. Now, if it gets to that level, we can get AI to barber in here right now, you know what I mean?
It's over.
But I don't think it's there yet, but for middle of America, I can see, like, Supercuts throwing in $50 million and having a 24-hour service. Now, we wouldn't go, but there is a market to be served everywhere. I think a barber can be replaced. And for you non-punctual barbers, finito.
Punctual and amount of time it takes inside the shop.
Absolutely. And if you can go 24 hours, or have a robot come to your house and do it for you, oh, God.
You can pick the type of lineup you want.
For you barbers that don't use gloves, too, or you got bad breath, boy.
Yo.
Well, I still think that the barbers, they might be safe for a while. I don't see just a bunch of robots.
For at least 15 years, yeah.
Chefs?
Really?
Chefs in the kitchen. I don't see AI just automatic machines just making meals. Like, they make assembly line meals.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, when I say a chef, I mean like restaurant, like a real chef. Like
personalized touch.
Cooking it up. Chef Curry with the
Salt Bae. Board. You better go get your little AI and have that robot sprinkle
like
it down.
As far as like the school lunch, 100%.
Yeah.
Machines can 100% make that.
Yeah.
1,000%. But a chef.
Like on some Jetsons type situation.
Yeah. A little bit goes into it.
STK needs some AI for that customer service sometime too. Shout to y'all.
Well,
boy, I'll be in Midtown. We
frequent there.
Me too. I'll call. Hey, Sharon, I'm sorry your order's 65 minutes late. What are we doing? I'll call my little tater tots and my little sauce. What are we doing? Well, so, no, I don't think chefs are like hiring restaurants to be able to be replaced yet.
Public speaker.
You don't think so?
Well,
most public speakers bring no value. This is Ian, not Troy and Rashad.
Well, when I say public speaker, even we're public speakers, right? So it's a different in-person experience that you get when, so as far as like online, voiceovers and all that, 1,000%.
Yes.
But as far as actually going to see somebody speak publicly, yeah. whether it's a motivational speaker, whether it's an educational speaker, I think that there's still an in-person experience has not been able to be duplicated.
I'm going to do your voice. How many of those are really good, though?
Yeah. Well, that's a different conversation.
Yeah. I think the key part is the in-person public speaking.
That's what public, keyword public.
Well, some people might say, yo, I do Zoom calls. I'm a public speaker. You can book me. Right? That's public speaking. You're speaking in front of an audience. So you are still public, but the in-person now changes it until it becomes a hologram. And that's the person who's speaking, right? Because like you said, right now, you're typing while you're on stage.
Yes.
Right?
Hi.
But what if you can be in three different countries at the same time with the same message?
But
and I may know a guy.
So let's just get this.
It's tricky.
Every career is in danger of being replaced. But we're saying like soon or later. These are like, I don't see a hologram like in the next 5 years speaking in front of
not in the next five.
50 years, potentially.
Maybe.
100 years, definitely. It might be a hologram president in 100 years.
I think sooner than that. I think within the next 20, we'll start seeing holograms. We'll start, I mean, Las Vegas is trying to do the Whitney Houston show. Residency. It's all hologram.
Yeah.
It's just her performance.
The costs come down, and that's really a chip thing too.
Yeah.
For how much processing power it takes. But if the prices come down,
Remember when Dre did this? When they did with Tupac?
It was mind-blowing.
Like, we've never seen anything like that. And we haven't seen anything since.
Yeah.
So, the last one was a little controversial. Religious minister. So, this is something that people was like, is that a job? It's actually the biggest job.
Context.
Huh?
It's a big job. It's an important job. Is it the biggest job?
I'm saying as far as money, monetization standpoint.
Yeah, people don't know that part.
Catholic Church owns more real estate than McDonald's. Yeah,
that's big facts.
They own the island of Manhattan. They own the island of Manhattan.
So, I'm just saying from a business standpoint.
Yeah.
Yes, religion is a business for sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. And there's no religion without religious leaders.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of any core religion has leadership and people have to get information from.
Mm-hmm.
People.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily see that getting replaced by AI soon. I don't see that getting replaced by AI.
I think out of all the ones we said, I think that's the one that is the furthest out of ever being replaced.
I wouldn't say it's the furthest out because even if
when we went
to Davos and they were saying that Saudi Arabia is already training Islamic AI.
Mm.
And they kind of went through the whole new religion, how countries and governments are using artificial intelligence from a religious standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't necessarily think that is out of the realm of possibility. I just don't think it's going to happen soon.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You just said the same thing I'm saying.
But I'm just saying there's a pathway to see this happening.
Yeah.
But I think that probably you need an in-person experience more than anything else.
You know what would be interesting is to see how many of a generation actually still, I mean, even in America, how many people claim to be religious and actually practice religion.
And care enough. Yeah, yeah.
You're right to even go. Like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I know a few people that go to church.
But I don't know many. Even if
not many.
Yeah, it's definitely waning for sure.
But Google put Jesus coming out the sky one day, and a hologram? You saw what Lizzo posted. Jesus Christ. Boy, I'm like, Lord, I'm so sorry. Let me straighten out my life.
You said the resurrection will be a hologram.
I mean, look, they shot down a balloon and said that they thought it was from Russia when it was an alien spaceship.
Wait, the one that flew over the United States?
Yeah, come on now.
I mean, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility if you really want to talk about propaganda.
Oh, yeah. If we want to go
that really way,
especially in a time of duress.
If it's.
That'd be the best time to throw the bad signal. Oh, China and Russia want to take over? Jesus, right up there over Manhattan. The Lord coming to save everybody.
You see?
Just saying.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you got to study. We've been talking about Edward Bernays. You have to go study that book, Propaganda.
Nice.
You have to know when to strike. And when people are afraid, they're looking for any semblance of safety. If Google slaps Yahweh coming out the clouds with the chariots, boy.
The gates are open.
Hey. So, any other careers that you think could be replaced, or any other careers that you think are pretty safe?
Oh, you know one that's really in trouble? Because most of them don't bring any value anyway? Podcasters. It's over with. When they did that Jay-Z voice.
That was crazy.
Almost flawlessly. The verse was not the greatest. So that's how we do it.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah. But it's like now, I'm going to be real. I'm trying to find that company right now so we can replicate our voices and put out 25 episodes.
When I saw Guru post it.
Yes.
And that's his engineer. And he had a whole paragraph he wrote about how we need to figure this out because how do you copyright somebody's voice? Like, it is your intellectual property, but like there is no law. And even if you made a law here, what's to stop it from happening in Canada? What happens in Mexico? What happens in China?
International laws are changing.
It's different.
Yeah. Podcasting, most influencers, YouTube creators are going to be in trouble because now you'll be able to put more things out at scale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think education.
Yes.
Is in danger or safe?
Is in danger. I think it's in danger. Long term, it is just from how efficient this can be. This technology can be.
Yeah.
Rather than like we always talk about the industrialized way that school has been formatted, it doesn't even make sense anymore. Especially what they're learning.
Yeah.
Imagine we could streamline the process of what they're learning to their actual needs. And once, because everybody doesn't learn the same, and everybody doesn't want to learn the same knowledge.
Yeah.
Nor should they be forced to. But that's kind of how it is. Like, you're going to learn a lot of these things, and you'll probably use 2% of it.
Yeah.
What about trades, like electricians, plumbers?
I think they'll be safe.
Yeah. I think you need hands-on for that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think those would be very safe. Waste management.
Yeah.
Like those careers. And those careers make a lot of money.
Technology stepped into waste management. There used to be four guys on your garbage truck. Now it's one with the robot.
That's true.
Plumber, you can definitely use machine for plumbing, but I think you still have to have... Electricians might be a little bit more safer than plumbers.
I agree.
I can see a machine can definitely do some plumbing work, probably.
The plumbing work I've had done, it can't be done without like a human manning it. Like, I've had to have pipes. I had a belly in my pipe. They had to dig it. Then they had to... You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no machine that could do that. It's even trying to... You ever seen when they put the scalpel tool, the snake, to see like where the problem's coming from.
Yeah.
That you need a person.
Just dropping Legos in the toilet and clothes. Oh my God.
They'll stop using the wipes, yo. They're not flushable.
Yeah.
So
plumbers are safe.
Construction?
Commercial construction, I think. What y'all think?
Things.
Yeah. Oh, like boxable.
Ooh.
Well, yeah.
Wow.
That's true.
Yeah.
Good point.
Well, even construction. Boxable.
I like this live audience.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Construction is in
danger.
It's in danger.
But it's important. You learn how to use all these tools. I know people feel like it's a lot of doom and gloom, but take all of these tools and learn how to use them in your business. Like, at some point, I probably will bring like a bunch of VAs back on, but I'm going to train them on how to use like all the tools. Yeah.
And we're talking about all these companies and how it could be disruptive. We gave you five or six. Another one to keep your eye on is C3.ai.
Okay.
C3.ai is the ticker. It's the company. Look at what they're doing. Their whole business model is to scale AI.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
So if we're talking about all these professions that are disrupting, and their model, their business is based on scaling it, make sure you keep your eye on C3.ai.
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen.
There you have it.
It's been real.
Another Market Mondays in the vault.
Live.
Yes, Toronto, Canada. Legendary vibe out here.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Played two sold out shows back to back. Appreciate everybody for pulling up. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Definitely plan on coming back here for sure.
Yes. Can we come back to Carabana?
For sure.
Yes.
a lot of great connections. I think people got a lot of value out of both shows that we did. That's the most important thing. And I just want to provide as much information as possible because the landscape is changing.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that people be educated and ready to take action.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the world moves quickly. So you have opportunity, but the opportunity is only as good as the action.
I agree. Yeah, this AI era feels like tech in 99. Like right when AOL was talking about taking off, Yahoo Finance was taking off. And people was like, oh, it's a fad. This is not a fad. AI is not a fad. I told you, like, the era of automation was going to come and efficiency. And now, remember when I was like, hey, no email, no hand. Now we're here. It's going to be all robots communicating
with. The founder of Microsoft said that AI is the most important technology since 1980.
Shout out to William H. Gates and his daughter that's dating.
What's she dating?
You know, he got her a little brown thing. You know what I mean? As soon as I saw Bill Gates' daughter was dating somebody black, I'm like, oh, that's why you're giving all that money to Warren Buffett. You'll never get all my money.
He's trying to come to the cookout. He's trying to come to the cookout.
Bill, never.
You're invited, Bill. You come to the
William
cookout.
William H. The whole time.
Congratulations to LSU.
Yes. Yes. Lady Tigers.
Yes, that was a big one.
Cook Caitlin, ain't it?
What's up? Caitlin, nah, Caitlin a legend.
Oh, yeah. In two games.
What's the other one?
Oh, I'm just doing my little shot bars real quick.
Yeah. Nah, she shout out to her. She's a legend. She is a hell of a player.
Dominant. I think
she scored the most points in the history of the NCAA tournament, men's and women's.
Really?
The most points ever scored.
Wow.
Yeah. But, you know, them Lady Tigers, man.
Wasn't enough.
She couldn't score enough.
Wasn't enough.
Be careful of the disrespect that you show.
Angel,
they
make what up?
Back on you.
Can't see me.
The Tony Yayo.
They calling it, that's the John Cena?
Like, no, that's Tony Yayo.
That's Tony Yayo. That's what Cena got
that's
from.
That's John Cena?
Yeah. No.
Nah.
That's Tony Yayo. Cena got it from Yayo.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm reading the reports that he did the John Cena, you can't see me. I'm like, what? I mean, Tony Yayo been doing that.
Yeah, big facts.
Shout out to Yayo, man.
My God.
It's been real. Ladies and gentlemen, see you guys next stop, London.
London.
Yeah. Well, next stop for us, Memphis, pulling up.
Memphis, Tennessee, this weekend. Shout out to my guy, Curtis Givens.
Mm-hmm.
We will be in the building. My first time ever going to Memphis.
A Memphis vibe.
Yeah. We are following Drake's pattern.
Yeah, I got family up there.
Across up to Memphis.
Yeah.
Yes. Nah, that's Memphis is the vibe. I'm looking forward to it. It's my first time ever going to Memphis. We're going to be there for his conference.
Yep.
I think he's going to be talking to us. So get your tickets if you're in Memphis. Show some love. We're going to see, try to get some good food while we're out there.
Yeah.
Check the vibe out. Yeah, is Ja Morant playing?
Oh, we got to check.
Yeah, he back.
Tap in. Ja, tap in.
If you're
watching this.
Yeah.
Tap in.
Let's do it. Love y'all. Be good to each other.
Yes. And don't forget tomorrow, D. Smith.
That's going to be big.
8 o'clock, one of the ones, legendary vibe. Get your tickets for London.
Mm-hmm.
Get on the waiting list for Ghana. Get on the waiting list for Chicago. And
that's going to be legendary.
Stay tuned.
Big announcements coming.
Stay tuned. All right, guys.
Peace.
Been real.
Peace.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.